Titus chapter 2, look in verse 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." Boy, ain't that a good scripture? "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee." You can be seated again this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. And Lord, for the singing that's been sung this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're soon to come. You're soon to come to get your people and make things right. Lord, I thank you for that. And we ask this morning that you'd help each of us always, just as the scripture said, looking for that blessed hope and appearing. And I pray, Lord, that we would be looking every morning. Most of all, I'm glad that I've experienced your grace. And I know what that's all about, to know what it means to be saved and have your grace evident in my life. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's one here that's lost, that's never experienced grace, I pray they'd get saved today before it's too late. Pray that you'll deal with hearts. And Lord, I know that if you do the work, that Lord, it'll get done as it needs to get done. Touch us and anoint us afresh while we might preach this morning. No more, no less than what you have to say. And we'll give the glory for it all. Thank you for Jesus who loved us and died for us. Save that sinner's nearest hell. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. As we look on the thought of the grace of Jesus, and I preached not too long ago, probably back at the 1st of July, I preached out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as we talked about how to have the power of God in our life. And it comes in that through His grace that He gives us. But He says right here, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men." And I asked this morning, what is grace? And people have a lot of definitions for what grace really is. Webster's 1828 tells us that it is favor or goodwill. I'm glad God had goodwill and favor toward me. Hey, it means kindness or mercy and pardon. I'm glad it means that. But you know, grace, often we talk about what it means and what it is, and folk will say that it's God's unmerited favor. I'm like Brother Ralph. I like that terminology just as good as anything else. Ain't you glad that God had unmerited favor towards you? What's that mean, preacher? That means nothing that you've done for God and that to save you. I'm glad this morning there is nothing that I could do to merit God's love and merit God's mercy and merit God's grace, because if I could merit it, then I could not merit it either. But because, friend, because it's unmerited, it's simply because Jesus wants to give it to us this morning. Listen, we talk about grace. We say that we're living in the grace age. And no doubt we are. We're living in the church age. But listen this morning, you know that from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of the Revelation, we find that grace is evident. As a matter of fact, the very first mention of grace is in the book of Genesis chapter 6, after God said that He was going to destroy mankind and wipe the earth out and flood it. But the Bible said in Genesis 6 and verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord," in the eyes of the Lord. Ain't you glad one day that you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Take your Bible this morning quickly as we get started and look in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Listen, Ruth is such a sweet story in the Bible, and such a great type and that of where we were, just like her. Listen, she wasn't nothing but a Moabitess that come out of the land of Moab down there because of Naomi and Elimelech being in their backslidden condition. They got in. Listen, according to Romans 11, because of Israel being in a backslidden condition, the Gentiles got in. I want you to look in Ruth chapter 2. Now, every one of us can put ourselves in her place. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight. Now look what she said, I shall find grace. And he said unto, and she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning unto now, and that she tarried a little in the house. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now watch what she does. And then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now if I could preach a little while this morning on the grace of God, I asked the same question that Ruth I asked this morning. Why did we find grace? You ever asked yourself that question, why did we get grace? Do you realize that it's in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it John 1:17? I said, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Listen this morning, without grace, you and I could not have got saved. Number one this morning, let me talk about for a second the grace of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, you should know this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning, I think about this for a second. Jesus saw the shape that we were in. God the Father knew the shape that we were in. And in His grace and His mercy and in His love, He was willing to send His Son so that He could die for us, that we might get saved. Amen. If you're happy to be saved this morning, say amen. Amen. I tell you, we sit around too much and that like we've never experienced grace. I want you to think about grace. I was trying to think about this, if there was anything that would describe grace to a point in its extent. Listen, and I thought about you mom and dads. I thought about all of you that's got young'uns, whether they're grown or whether they're little. Grace worked like this. I think about going out in the streets of the dirtiest and the vilest city that you could find, and find a child out there that has no mom and dad, that has no training, no learning, full of the world and nasty and dirty and sick, and going to cost you more than you ever could imagine. And you take that child in, But there's one thing to it. You got to give your child up to take that child in. Now, I want you to think for just a second. I sat down and boy, when I thought about that, I sat there and I cried last night because I thought, that's exactly what God done for me. I was not fit. I was no count. I was the dirtiest thing you ever seen in God's eyes. But He traded His Son so that I could have grace and have life. You may think you're pretty good this morning, but I'm going to tell you, you ain't good this morning. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, I said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. This morning I find myself, just like Ruth was, listen, needed somebody to help her. And boy, that night that I come to Him, I'm so glad that His grace was evident to me that I might get saved. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Hey, friend, it seems like in the past 6 months to a year that God's made Himself and just pressed on me and showed me that this man Jesus is not a figment of my imagination nor yours, but He was a real man that came and died for us. We get in church so many times and we sit around and we talk about Jesus and we sing about Jesus and we sing about grace and talk about grace. Hey, listen, we sing Amazing Grace and the wonderful grace of Jesus. Just sung it this morning. We sing about grace greater than our sin and all these things, but they're just words if we don't stop to think for just a minute. When's the last time that you ever just maybe sat down at your house or got down on your knees and said, Lord, I'm just thankful for the grace that You sent to save me. I'm so thankful that Jesus came and was my sin that I could be saved. Hey, listen, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 said that He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. You see what brings it? It's the grace of God. Where were you the night or the morning or the day that you got saved? Where were you at? Some of you were in church, some of you were at home, but grace came by and made a stop. It took me a long time to realize some things. And I'm still trying to learn. At 44 years old, been saved since I was 14, I'm still trying to learn some things along the way about God's love and grace. Can I stop right here and say for just a second that God's grace is evident. I mean, it's appeared to all men. And you know, it'll save anybody that'll come to Him. Do you know that God's grace can reach further down than we think it can? Amen, preacher. You know that God's grace can reach further down in the ditch than men. You could, hey, we're kind of, a lot of times we get like the over in the book of Luke over there when there was one that left Jerusalem and he was going down to Jericho, and the Bible said that he fell among thieves. And they robbed him and they stripped him and they left him for half dead over in the ditch. And the Bible says that the priest came by and looked on him, walked by on the other side. It says that the Levite came by, looked on him, went by on the other side. But when the Samaritan came by, the Bible said that he came to where he was, looked on him, and had compassion on him. That's what grace does. It has compassion on us. Because it realizes that there's not anything that we can do in ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, as the Apostle Paul was talking about the Gentiles as a whole, he said that at that time you were without Christ, been aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And I understand that he's talking about the whole race of Gentiles there. But friend, I'm going to tell you, that becomes very personal because I was that way. I had no hope. I was without God. But because of Christ Jesus and His grace, I'm now His. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, ain't that a wonderful verse? And we not only have the peace of God in our life, but we have peace with God. When grace became evident and saved me, it gave me peace with God. Christ Jesus reconciled. I think most of y'all know this, but I want you to get this morning. Christ Jesus, the Lord, reconciled us, put us back together because of what he done at Calvary. But go down in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That next verse says, much more then, being now. I love that word, N-O-W, now. Now justified by his blood. I'm not to be justified later. I was not justified and lost it. I'm now justified. When I read that verse tomorrow, it'll be now. When I read it next week, now. When I read it a year from now, if I'm still around, if we're still here, now, I'm still justified. And you realize when I read that in heaven, I'll still be now justified. But he said, much more than being now justified, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The wrath that is yet to come. He has saved us from our sin, but there's coming a day of wrath and judgment that we've been saved from. Christ came because we had no chance, had no opportunity. So, well, preacher, you know the Old Testament, the Gentiles was going to be saved through Israel. Now, I mean, if you go back and you read the book of Jeremiah, we've been studying that. We understand that, but even Israel couldn't get it right, man. I mean, they struggled to get it right. And I mean, God chose them and made them for him. And then here we are, nothing but Gentile dogs. And didn't have a chance in the world. But because God looked down from heaven and seen us, he sent his son. I've told you 1,000 times, the first verse I ever learned in Sunday school was how that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now think about that for just a second. God gave his son for you. You know, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we think ourselves to be pretty good. But God gave Jesus for you. God gave Jesus for me. Paul talks about, he said, for we are not as many which compare ourselves among ourselves. He said, because that's not wise. And when I compare myself to somebody else, a lot of times I think I'm better if I ain't careful. And I can find people that are better than me. I think if you look, you'll find people that are better than you, whether it's at work or whether it's in serving Christ. There's far better preachers than me. There's far more men and women doing more work for God than I am. But friend, when I begin to look at what he sent for me to get me saved, me. One preacher said one time, and I believe that he had it right, that if I was the only sinner here, Christ would have came. I believe that's true today. That's how much grace and love that the Lord Jesus Christ has. How far can his grace reach? I think it's just like Ruth over there. She was the only one that caught the eye of Boaz. And Boaz was going to do whatever he could to keep Ruth. I'm going to tell you, if you've experienced the grace of God, God's unmerited favor. Now, he says, look, he tells us, he explains to us that we're a sinner. I'm glad there's a day that I got that thing. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even sure how much I understood the night that I got saved. That used to plague me and bother me. You know, you listen to preachers and the way some of them preach, it's just got to be so. I mean, it's got to be like this and this and this and this. No, friend, I come to a knowledge that I was lost one Sunday night. I realized I was lost. I don't know if I realized I was a sinner. I don't know what all I realized, but I realized I was lost and dying going to hell. And I realized that He could save me if I'd come to Him. I knew that much. And that's where I found myself at, was at His feet. But by grace, God's grace. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Can I tell you that grace is in a person this morning, in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never known the Lord Jesus Christ, then you do not know what grace is all about. The older I get, the more I'm so thankful that I try to grasp what grace is. Because the older I get, the more I realize what I am. I'm just an old piece of dirt that He created. As Brother Larry said the other day, out of dust, which is secondhand dirt. Boy, I told him that over at the nursing home. Boy, they all liked that little joke, amen. That we wasn't nothing but secondhand dirt. And listen, I mean, think about it. Think about it. The Bible said, I talked about Jesus over there in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it was, that how that He left heaven. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor, that through His poverty, you might be rich. You realize that when Jesus came over there, if we read the book of Luke, you'll find that He came and was born in that manger with no pomp or circumstance on the earth. Now there was pomp and circumstance in heaven. I mean, God rolled back heaven and let them shepherds see the greatest choir in the whole world up there singing. Reckon what they were singing. I believe it's glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, I bet they didn't hit a bad note one, did they? Amen. Listen, there was pomp and circumstance in heaven when He came, but nobody even really paid attention other than a hill full of shepherds out there that come and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Some years later, too, maybe 1 or 2 years later, here come them wise men from the east that had seen His star and brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I don't know how many came, but they came and they knew who He was, but nobody else knew who He was. And then grew up and at the age of 30 started His ministry. And then everybody knew who Jesus was. Have you ever met this man called Jesus? Do you know what grace is? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you realize that because of what Adam done, that He made us all sinners? I mean, Romans 5 talks about because of the offense of one, many were made sinners. I mean, that's talking about what Adam done in Romans 5. Because of the offense, many were made sinners. But because of obedience of one man, many were made righteous. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace must appear in your life for you to get saved. And you have to experience it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. But look in verse 12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace not only in that brings salvation, but then God's grace brings us the ability to be separated out of this world. Do you know that if you're going to live separated out of the world, that it's going to have to be by His grace. First of all, notice that it's His grace that teaches us that. There's something inside of you when you got saved, the Holy Spirit come by, according to Ephesians chapter 1, and after you trusted the word of the gospel, He give to you the earnest of the Spirit, and He set up residence on the inside, and by the grace of God, He teaches us how to be separated out of this world. Is that not what you read right there? As I began to study this scripture, I thought, well, my out of all the years that I've ever read that, and begin to put that together. It was the grace of God that brought salvation, but it's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. If you go down in verse 14, in verse 14, it talks about Christ who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So you get saved by God's grace, and then it's by his grace that we live for him. You ever... Well, let me say this. I know I've said this at the nursing home. I don't know if I've ever said it here. I think I've said it here. When I got saved, and after I lived for Christ, after you get saved and you start your Christian life, and you watch people and older people, you think that living for Christ and being separated out of this world gets older, gets easier as you get older. Can I tell you it don't? The fight just changes. Now I'm not battling the same thing that I was battling when I was 18 and 19 and 20 years old. But I'm still battling. I still need God's grace to stay separated out of this world. Now he says that teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So we need to stay separated from the things of the world, from sin. We need to stay separated from the draw of this world. You know, it does draw. Does it draw on you? So the preacher of the world, it don't draw on me. Well, you bless your heart. I'm glad that it don't draw on you. The songwriter talked about there in one verse, talks about how, Lord, my heart is prone to wander. Can I tell y'all something this morning that most of you should know, or all of you should know? Do you know that I'm living in the same body and the same piece of flesh that you all are living in? I ain't no Superman. I think I am sometimes, and I'm glad that these kids think I'm Superman, amen, around here, but I ain't Superman, friend. I mean, I just know the same Lord that you know, and I have to fall on my face before him and say, Lord, I need you to fix my mind. I need you to close my eyes to the things out there that has a draw on me, that I can serve you better. Amen. That was always Israel's problem. They had a hard time with what was out in the world. Exciting, ain't it, this morning? Romans 6 said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members have instruments of righteousness unto God. He went down through here and he talked about to be a purified and a peculiar people. How many of you know what that word peculiar means? Word peculiar means belonging to that person. Belonging to that group. You ever looked at somebody and said, boy, they're awful peculiar. They got their own ways about doing things, don't they? I mean, listen, my wife, she knows I'm very peculiar. I'm very strange about how I do certain things. Bethany, you'll learn one day that Zach is a peculiar feller because he's a preacher. Amen. And if he ain't peculiar now, God will make him peculiar. But I'd say he's peculiar now. But we're all different. You know, normal's only relative, by the way. But we're peculiar. We're not to be the same as them people out there. We're not to talk the same. We're not to dress the same. We're not to walk the same. We're not to look the same. We're not to do none of those things. Why? Because we're to be a purified and a peculiar. When people look at us, they're to say, hey, there's something different about her. There's something different about him. I wonder what it is. Don't you want people to ask you what's different about you? Wouldn't that just be great if somebody come up to you and said, why do you always smile? Why are you always, well... Hopefully we're always in a pretty good mood. At least if we're not in a good mood, at least somebody might say, I reckon while they're not in a good mood. I got a preacher friend of mine. He was remodeling his church, and he had been going to the hardware store every morning, and I getting things to work with at the church, and he had talked to them girls out there, and they knew him, and he always went in cheery and always happy, and everything went well. And one morning, he just had a bad morning. You know, we all do have bad mornings, don't we? Some of you's had one this morning. You look like you's had a bad morning. Amen. It'll be good. I'll be done, and we'll eat fried chicken just here in a minute. Amen. And it'll be a good day. I'm just pulling in and saying, listen. But he went in, and he said, I was standing in there, and he said, I was trying to get things ready to go. And he said two of them girls come up there and said, what's the matter? Well, what do you mean, what's the matter? Well, what's the matter? He said, you're not your normal self today. And he's just talking about going to the hardware store. These girls had done figured out that there's something different about this feller right here. And he said, I left that hardware store, went home and prayed a while. And you know what? I believe that probably helped him and it might help us. But he said, denying what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should do what? Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We cannot escape this world. We can't. I agree with Brother Seals. Too many people do want to go hide behind the wall, stick out their head and see what's going on there. We can't do that. I mean, listen, we're living in this present world. We're living now. We can't escape living out of it. But we can escape living different to it. How are you going to do that? I'm going to tell you, you won't be able to do it in your strength. You won't be able to do it in your power. It'll have to be in the power of Christ this morning. Listen, the Bible talks about, there at one point, talks about that it is the grace of God that gives us strength and gives us power and that to live different. What did he say in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Got to be strong. It's in grace. God saved you, and now he wants you to live different. He said for us to do what? To live soberly. You know that word sober, he's talking about not being under the influence of any type of passion. And keeping our, I guess you would say, keeping our reasoning about us. When we talk about being sober, we think about liquor and alcohol. And I'm going to be honest with you, it does change man's reasoning. Most people knows that, but that, you know, if they can't stand up straight, they probably ought not to get in a car and drive home. But yet, because their reasoning is messed up, they'll get in a vehicle and try to drive home, liable to kill themselves or somebody else. But as we look at it as a spiritual word for us here, he says that we're to live soberly. We're not to let anything drive our passion in one direction or another in this world. But we're to live righteously and godly. Listen, friend, so that we can please Him and live a life that folk can see Him inside of us. And when we live that godly life, when we live that sober life, that righteous life, man, I could spend a lot of time on verse 12, but we ain't going to. But notice another command he gave us. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What they just sung about not too long ago. How many of us look for Him? How many of us got up? Can I be honest with you? I didn't get up this morning and my feet hit the floor and said, boy, today would be a good day for Jesus to come. As soon as my feet hit the floor at 25 after 7, I realized I had overslept. And I was already in a dead run at 25 after 7. And Jesus coming back didn't even enter my mind. I'm going to be honest with you. Him coming, but you realize He's coming back? I mean, He came the first time. He is going to come again. And it's by His grace. Hey, listen, it's by His grace that we are to live for Him and serve Him separated out of this world, because there is coming a day, friend, that we're going to stand before Him. And you need to realize that. He's coming again. But His grace. His grace saves us. His grace gives us strength. I feel like I ain't even done justification to none of this morning. But He gives us strength. As I close, He talks about in 2 Corinthians 12. As Paul talked to the Lord, he had the messenger of Satan to come and buffet him. And three times Paul prayed that it might go away. But God came to him and said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so we find that it's God's grace that gives us strength to be able to do these things. It's God's grace that allows us to serve Him. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." It's appeared to you this morning, but have you ever trusted it? Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. Brother Jim, if you'll come piano. Brother Jeff, let's give a verse of invitation this morning. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared." Has it ever appeared? Has Jesus ever knocked on your heart? So, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm living for Him." Great. That's great. But where was you the night that He found you? Or the day? The morning? It might be this morning. "The grace of God that bringeth salvation." It's in Jesus this morning. Do you know Him? Have you ever experienced His grace? To know that He gave His life for you that you might be saved. And in giving Himself, friend, and in saving you, He wants you to live for Him out of this world. And gives us the grace to be able to do that. And makes it sufficient to do it. Go ahead and start playing there, Brother Jim, if you would. But do you know what His grace is about? Playing "Amazing Grace." Do we still think grace is amazing? When's the last time you ever got down on your knees and prayed for that person that you know that probably ain't a real good person? Probably might even be kind of low down. Somebody you wouldn't even invite to your house. You wouldn't want your children around. Might be dirty and vile and vulgar. Or mean as the devil. Don't care nothing about you and don't care nothing about God. And would stand out in the open field and shake their hand at God and deny Him and tell Him that they hate God. But when's the last time that we ever prayed for somebody like that? Say, "God, I know that Your grace is sufficient to save that person. That because of Your grace, You want to save that person." You see, the night or the day that you got saved, God wanted to save you. He didn't do it nonchalantly. He didn't do it by accident. And He didn't do it simply because He didn't have anything better to do. By His grace, He came to where you were. And maybe that's where you're found today. It's not by accident, but it's on purpose today. Have you ever experienced His grace? I hope you have. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord, I've tried my best to present Your grace, and it's one of the deepest things that I've ever looked at and tried to study on. And Lord, there is no reason for You to have sent Your Son to die for us. There's not one that I could think of.
but simply because you loved us. I thank you for that. There may be somebody here today that does not know you, that's never experienced your grace to know that you came from heaven to die for them. If somebody needs to come get saved, I pray you'll deal with their heart. There may be somebody here struggling this morning, Lord, to live right, to live soberly and righteously out of this world. Lord, supply them that grace to give them strength to serve you. Help in this invitation for these things. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen.